birthday party?
Miracle. There you go.
Welcome to the Abracadam Podcast. I'm your host, stand-up comedy magician Danny Whitson. Like always, Abracadamans, hope you're getting stuff done, son, meeting them goals. I met a goal yesterday. Yeah. There was a big old creepy-ass pine tree in my backyard that had been leaning for like 2 years towards my house. And me and my neighbor dropped that bad boy yesterday. Sliced it up like butter, son. Well, actually, he did. So big shout out to my neighbor, Chad. He's never going to listen to this because he don't listen to podcasts. But he is an amazing dude and an awesome neighbor. So glad I got good neighbors, y'all. I couldn't live next door to assholes. They wouldn't like me. I feel sorry for those people who hate their neighbors. I love my neighbors. But before we turn this into like a Mr. Rogers episode, let's get things rolling. First of all, let's give a big shout out to the sponsor for today's episode. Today's episode is brought to you by Will's Towing. Now, guys, no one likes to be broke down. It sucks, okay? It's a nightmare to be sitting there on the side of the road. But if it happens to you and you live anywhere near the Anderson, Knox, or Roane County areas in Tennessee, don't hesitate to give Will Roberts a call at Will's Towing, okay? Now, we've all seen those other tow truck drivers at those other companies. You know, they look a little sketch, you know what I'm saying? Like they may have been touching a possum before they came out to you. Yeah, who knows? At Will's Towing, you never have to worry about that. Everybody who works for Will is clean, safe, and professional. And I promise you, they can set your car in the garage, the side of the road, or in the living room if you need them to. So if you have any issues at all, broke down, side of the road, don't hesitate to give Will Roberts a call today at 865-272-5300, located at 2081 Oak Ridge Turnpike, Oak Ridge, Tennessee. Like I said, if your car breaks down, call Will's Towing. All right, Abracadamans. Now, today's guest is somebody who I've known for a while. I had the pleasure of being on his podcast a few years ago. I think the people in my neighborhood, there's that whole Mr. Rogers thing. It just keeps coming back. But anyways, that was a great time. I really enjoyed his place, too, because he's got all kinds of cool little pop culture things, you know, in his house. Just a fun guy. He has a background in radio, comedy, and just an all-around good dude. So if you will, Abracadamans, sit back and relax and enjoy my fun conversation with Mitch Wheeler. All right, I'm excited. We got all-around super cool guy, Mitch Wheeler, here on the Abracadam Podcast today. How you doing, Mitch?
I'm doing well. I'm not really confident that I can live up to that introduction, but we'll see.
Well, I definitely think you are, man. But I'll tell you what, if you don't mind, just give yourself a brief little introduction to the Abracadam listeners.
I am Mitch Wheeler, former radio broadcaster, former stand-up comedian, former podcast network owner, former Knoxville's most eligible bachelor, and currently a fairly moderately boring guy that just tries to keep himself busy with hobbies and music and stuff.
You know, I would definitely argue on the boring part. Let me tell you, okay, the first time I went to your place, this is how Mitch has little Easter eggs in his house, guys, okay? He's one of these guys. And I'm sitting there and I'm looking around at all the cool shit that he has because he's got a ton of cool stuff. And then this is the first time I've seen this. Now you'll probably see this because the internet and it's cool. But this was the first time I seen this, and this is a few years back, but I actually saw what was the red rifle BB gun from A Christmas Story sitting in the corner of the room of his house. And I thought, holy.
Yeah, that's how you protect you got to protect your stuff. You got to protect your things, man. You know, somebody breaks in, you got to be ready to cap an ass.
I just thought, dude, that is super awesome, man. That is so awesome. But I tell you what, man. Okay, so, you know, and you've done a lot of things. And, you know, a few years ago, you did have me on your podcast. And one thing that I realized about you, Mitch, is your interviewing skills, dude. You have fantastic. Did you learn that from your radio days?
Yeah, I mean, sort of. It was one of those things, like, you get thrown into the deep end of the pool and you figure it out real quick, or you drown, you know? So one day I'm at the radio station, it's company lunch or whatever, just hanging out. Everything's fine. I'm slacking off like I normally do. And the boss comes up and goes, "Hey, what do you know about Sid Haig?" And I said, most people know him as Captain Spaulding from the House of a Thousand Corpses series by Rob Zombie. But I think the first time I remember seeing him was episode 5 of season 1 of the A-Team, in which he was Lizard Breath. My boss is like, "Stop. You're making it worse on yourself. I just want to know if you want to interview him." And I said, "Yes." And I sat back there for 45 minutes with this dude in the studio and had it. I mean, it was just fascinating to listen to him tell these stories. And I determined at that point, like, I didn't want to be the guy that interviews people the same way that everybody else interviews people. Because, you know, when you're interviewing somebody, especially somebody famous like that, most everything that you're inclined to ask somebody on an interview has already been asked. What's your inspiration? Where did your band name come from? You know, all that stuff is easily Googleable. I didn't like saying that. That didn't roll off the tongue as much as I thought it was going to in my head. Googleable, that's terrible.
But no,
it's an awful word.
No, but hey,
anyways, it exists. Yeah, so it became this challenge for me personally to make sure that the people I'm interviewing are having as much fun as I'm having doing the interview. Like, I want the people that I interview to walk away and go, "Damn, that was a lot of fun. Like, that was better than most of the interviews I've ever given."
You know, and see, that's something that has been a challenge for me, because, you know, I have a variety of guests on here, and I don't want to ask those lame, boring questions, you know? But I mean, where do you go? So do you do like a lot of research on your guests beforehand to find something interesting, or?
Almost none,
just to keep it organic as possible.
Yeah. I mean, the thing about people is that people instinctually love to talk about themselves and what they do. So all you have to do is find that thing that they're really, really interested in, and then just let them go.
Gotcha.
And, you know, a friend of mine told me a long time ago, there's a little cheat phrase that you can use. And that's simply, "Tell me more about that."
Gotcha. So, okay.
It works on dates too.
Now, see, I'm finding this helpful. Totally, I'm gathering it. Now, because, you know, like, I've been doing this podcast a little over a year. I have learned so much about people, things about myself too. I've learned things mm-hmm. about myself. I'm trying to become a better listener, you know, because being an entertainer, we love to run our mouth. We love to flap up our jaws. And I'll be honest with you, I love talking about my act. I love talking about magic and comedy. I love talking about those things. And there's even sometimes, like, you know, we'll be at a get together, an event, and, you know, it always comes up, "Hey, Danny is a professional comedy magician, you know, show us something here, Dan," you know?
Yeah.
And I don't want to do that, you know, because this is, you know, I want to be just me and mingle and talk to people.
You just want to be Danny. You don't want to be Danny the comedy magician.
Musician, that's right.
There's this moment in my head when I'm about to say musician or magician, where it's like there's this fork in the road and I'm going naughty. It's like, wait, which one? And then it's just like swerve into it. So
there's this old bit, you know, where people are, you know, "I'm a magician." I'm like, "Really? What instrument do you play?" But a lot of them, you know, will say that. And then it's almost like if I get in the conversation, I'm going on and on and on. And then in the back of my head, there's this guilt saying, hey, dipshit, shut your mouth. You're talking way too much about yourself. Shut up, you know.
100%. And that happened a lot in radio for me. You know, like I'm on the radio. This is my childhood dream. And there was this very distinct moment at Urban Bar that shifted my train of thought on that, where somebody was played something on the jukebox. I don't remember exactly what it was, but whoever I was with went, oh man, this is a cool song. And I said, yes, let me tell you everything about that song, the people that helped make it, the writers, the other bands that they came from, and how this collaboration came to be. And halfway through this diatribe, I looked at them and realized that they're looking at me with the same look in their eyes that I look at somebody with that starts telling me about their car engine.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, okay, it's not about me. It's about somebody else. Let's learn more about other people so that I have the ability to carry on conversations that span beyond my encyclopedic knowledge of plants and music.
You know, what I have been able to do is I've got a very small, tight circle of friends that I do call and say, what do you think about this? Or what do you think about this bit? You know, they're not, most of them aren't even magicians or comics, you know.
Right.
They're just, you know, they're just good friends. And then I try to keep the rule of, I don't talk about me, not unless I'm being paid to talk about me. Or someone asked me first, you know.
Right.
If they show interest in, you know, that, then yes, I will have the conversation. But yeah, I'm like you, you know, I can definitely go overboard and blah, blah, blah. And then people are just, you could kind of see the boredom or the I don't give a shitness thing happening. Yeah,
they just started to glaze over, like I'm like me trying to do a word problem in a math book. Like it's just like, I don't even like, I read the first two words and then everything just turns to mush. And I'm like, I'm just staring at this paragraph and I have no idea what it says. But to your point about like not wanting that attention, like I think it's a common misnomer about people that are entertainers and that want to entertain. And I, you know, I'm not doing a lot of entertainment these days, but it's still, you know, I mean, that's in your blood. And people know that and people still bring it up, but people think like you're an entertainer. That's when you're your happiest, right? Is when you're entertaining and you're the center of attention. And they don't understand that. No, we don't always want to be the center of attention. Sometimes we want to coast in neutral and just be a normal person. Like it takes a lot of energy to be on.
Absolutely.
And to run your bits and to do your gimmicks and all that stuff, like it takes a lot of energy out of you to do that. And so like, I know that for me, when I would do a comedy show or a big concert event where I'm introducing the band or whatever the case may be, I would just crawl into a dark hole for 2 days afterwards just to recharge, because it's like, oh my God, there's like all that pressure. Like it's crazy. But people just don't, it doesn't click for them.
People have no clue. And you know, this is the crappy side to it. Okay. There's times like people be like, hey, we're having a party get together this weekend. If you guys can make it, you come. And you're like, you know, I would, but you know, it almost feels like work to me by going to your event as me, because that's where I'm always at. I'm always around stuff like that. And
yeah,
you know, to me, a nice day off is sitting at home and vegging out in front of the TV or doing something around the house, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
But, and also, you know, people don't understand, you know, there's that pressure of after there's also this weird thing like, and this is weird. And this is entertainment therapy, guys, in case you're wondering. So what we're talking about. <What's up? laughs> Sometimes after I've done a show, and let's say it was just a killer show, the next day you still got a high. And then the following day, you know what happens? Depression.
Horrible, crippling depression.
It's like, it's almost like coming down from cocaine or something, man. It's like,
it really is. And, you know, it is a high. And that's what, you know, again, and it's not necessarily their fault. We do it to ourselves. we do it to ourselves. We put it on ourselves because we don't set those boundaries. But it is a drug. It is why people do it. It is why I stopped doing it. Because when you kill, it is the greatest drug on the planet. It feels incredible. You're just like, I am the king of the fucking world. I'm assuming I can curse on this and I'm not causing you extra editing. Cool. But when you don't kill, it is soul crushing. Bombing is the worst thing ever. But I mean, even if you don't bomb, let's say you kill, you got that high, and then 2 days later, you're like, how do I get that again? I can't, oh my God. You start thinking about all the work that went into that night, and you're just like, fuck, man, I got to do that all over again just to get my high.
You know, and the grind is so hard because, you know, as an entertainer, you're, imagine every time you go to work, you have to reapply. You know, it's, you know, right. Sending shit to bookers, and you know they're so overwhelmed, and you know with people sending them stuff, they don't even, you know, look at your stuff. And then every now and then, there's this booker who acts like their room is the creme de la creme. You know, the Chuckle Hut that used to be, you know, a freaking Burger King is, you know, you can't. Our room is, get the fuck out of here.
Right, right. And then you look at their social media and you're like, you have no concept of marketing, do you? This is all hubris, isn't it?
Exactly. So, you constantly deal with that. And then, you know, in this day and age too, which is also tough, is being good or having a good act isn't good enough these days. You know, you have to be a social media star. You have to do all these extra things. You have to be a video editor. You have to be a podcaster. You have to be, you know, all these things to stay relevant or to try to build a brand or an audience. And, you know, so there's a lot of pressure on it. And, you know, I see people who got out of it. And there's times that I've wanted to talk to them and be like, so what's it like, you know.
It's almost as liberating as when I deleted Facebook.
Oh my God, dude. I wish I could do that too.
So, but like you said though, you gotta be a social media star.
Yeah.
You know, and like that's the weirdest thing, man. Like I miss comedy, I miss doing it. I still have those moments where I want to go do it. It's like, maybe I'll go hit an open mic night. Then I think, no, let's leave it to the other people. That's not your thing anymore. It's cool. But like, and then on Facebook, like I don't know what the hell's going on at any given moment because it's like, it's all Facebook events. To your point about the grind, the other thing that people don't understand is there is a very slim tier of people, very slim tier of entertainers that make a living doing it and doing it alone. Like you see us on a stage, and you're like, wow, look at this cool guy. That cool guy is driving a 92 Toyota Tercel with a busted taillight, you know, on a donut.
I went full time. Like, I think last time I talked to you, I was actually working as a loan officer, you know.
Yes.
And I was performing part time. And then, you know, I had the full time gig. Now, this is my only income. You know, I am, you know, a full-time performer. So it's...
And was that catalyst? Was the pandemic a catalyst for that? Or was that... That's the goal all along, but...
Yeah. That was right before the pandemic. I had, you know what? Screw it. I'm going to go full-time. And it was so funny because I even told Antoinette, my wife, I was like, you know, babe, I think this year is going to be my year. And then, you know, the pandemic hit, boom, stopped everything. And I was like, holy shit, what did I do? You know, but you know what, man, it worked itself out. It really did. And, just 2021 was stupid, insane, busy for me. Mm-hmm. A lot of, you know, wide open. And
yeah, when they opened the dam, man, like it was just.
Oh yeah. Yeah, it was. So, and you know, and things are still going good. I mean, like I said, it's a grind. It is a grind. We travel a lot, you know, but it's definitely, you know, I'm not rich by no means, but I'm paying my bills and, you know, it is what it is. But I think also, I think entertainers also, whenever you decide to do it full time, you also come to acceptance that, you know, I don't have to have the nicest of the nicest things.
Right.
I don't have to.
Right.
You know, and it's just right. Like, it's just like owning your own business kind of thing.
Right. It's a lot like radio was, where you do it because that's what you want to do. That's your passion. That's what you feel like you were made to do. And you've accepted that it's not going to be glamorous and you're not going to make $1 million and you're not going to be like, you this is what you're going to do. And you accept it and you do it.
And, you know, I do often think, you know, like when I am old, and I'm not going to feel like driving hours and hours and hours to do a show, or
why not?
Well, I mean, I don't know. Maybe.
Where's your dedication, Danny? Rise and grind, brother. You got to get out there and seize the day, all of them, until you die, son. You better be working until you're in the grave, motherfucker.
Do you know what the sad reality is, dude? This is a real sad reality, and you know this is. And it even happens to the top-notch celebrity comics. So many comics. Yeah, I mean, it's sad, but they wind up dying in a hotel room.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, any entertainment persona has that, runs that risk. Wrestling is notorious for it. You get these guys that are huge, mega superstars, and then they end up at Comic-Con selling autographs for $25 a pop.
See, fame is so weird. What fame is, there's almost like, a lot of people think very few people, first of all, stay on top of the mountain. Very few Michael Jacksons or Princes or those guys. That is a rare thing, you know.
Absolutely.
The rest all come back down. And, you know, that's something I've been wondering about, Mitch, is this new type of famous, because we live in a day and age that anybody can be famous just like that. All they have to do is make a TikTok viral video and bam, they're famous. Okay.
Speaking of, I just have to point this out and how ludicrous it is. I do stuff on TikTok and Instagram just to satisfy my own need for creating content or whatever. And again, it's like I don't expect a lot, but maybe I can entertain my friends. Did one of those things where you catch somebody and you play the sound and you use the original sound and you just catch their reaction. It's just a fart noise. And I did it to my mom and my dad, and they're sitting on the couch and they hear it. The most number of views that I have on a video on Instagram, other than this one, is a video of my dog jumping up and down like he's a lowrider. Uh-huh. That's 4,000. The next closest one is 300. This video of my mom hearing a fart noise has 350,000 views on it.
That is insane to me, man.
I didn't do anything. I hit a button and held it down while my mom heard a fart noise and laughed. It's so ludicrous.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. I mean, I
don't. Right.
It's just insane. And but that's the times we live in. Going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting. Will we be watching a VH1 show? Where are they now? The stars of TikTok, you know? Oh yeah. I remember that guy, you know? And
no, I don't think so. I think to your point, and I was thinking about this recently, right? Like, I think the Foo Fighters are that last mega rock band, like the last Metallica or Rolling Stones or Aerosmith that everyone can like and get behind. Like, I think Foo Fighters is that last one. After that, I don't, maybe somebody will come along, but like That's them. And music or movies. It feels like The Rock is the last movie superstar. Yeah. Where again, like, it doesn't matter what he's in, everybody's gonna go see it. Like, this is the guy, the like kids, like, he can do action, he can do comedy, whatever. But after that, fame is so fleeting now that I think that it's like our attention spans aren't there long enough for us to invest in fame enough. Like, I watched The Masked Singer, loved the shit out of that show. I shouldn't. And I don't know half of the people on there. Mm-hmm. It's like JoJo Siwa. And I'm like, who is that? And they're like, yeah, she was on YouTube. I'm like, oh, okay. Like, I don't, like, there's so much content that I'm supposed to know that I don't have time to digest. Like, that's the problem, is that there's so much content in so many places. And it's like, how do y'all know who these people are? Like, how deep into a YouTube rabbit hole are you going and still keeping track of what's going on Bridgerton or whatever it is?
Yeah. First of all, I don't know. A lot of times when I watch these shows, I'm like, I don't know who this person is. Who is that? Who is that? I guess, yeah. I'm old. I'm getting old. That's fine. That's fine with me.
Part of it.
Yeah. Part of it. The thing on YouTube, I will say this. There's two people on YouTube that I think they've got fantastic channels. I watch a lot of YouTube. I do catch myself watching a lot of YouTube. Mr. Ballin, I don't know if you've ever heard of his show, but my God, he tells some really cool stories. He's an ex-Navy SEAL. Check it out. You may enjoy it. And then the geek side of me, the real geek science nerd, is Answers with Joe. And he covers like a lot of science-based, really cool shit. But besides that, yeah. I don't know. You know, I have no clue who the YouTubers are and all this stuff.
Yeah.
Fame is really strange these days.
It is. I used to have a bit. The first bit I ever did, first bit I ever wrote, was on fame. And it was, you know, like, I'm good with mediocrity and entertaining, but I don't want to be famous, because when you get famous, that's when you get all this pressure. You have to start endorsing weird shit to make your money and stuff. I'm like, look at what is her fucking name? Mike Myers, Halloween, Jamie Lee Curtis.
Yeah.
Jamie Lee Curtis. She gets old and starts endorsing fucking yogurt.
Yeah.
Activia yogurt to keep her regular. Like, we're sitting there listening to Jamie Lee Curtis talk about her bowels.
Sex symbol. And now we're picturing her pooping.
Right. Yeah.
So, yeah. And I mean, that's true, man. That is so true. That wasn't my goal either, man. I didn't get into this to, like, man, I want to be famous. I just wanted to make people smile, man. I just wanted that's all I want to do. And it just sucks, because there's some places it's like, you know, he's got a fantastic act, but no one knows who the hell he is, and no one's going to buy tickets to come see him because he doesn't have 10 billion followers on, you know, TikTok. So,
yeah.
But you're right, and you never know what kind of video people are going to like. I mean, and I can sit here and be, you know, Clint Eastwood from Gran Torino, you know, get off my lawn, you TikTokers. You've got no talent. And because, I mean, but let's be honest, really, people like to associate talent and fame together, but to be honest, really, they don't have shit to do with each other, because
no, they don't.
Talent has been leaving the fame side for a long time. You know, that's been going on for a long time.
You know, to your point about being an old man and Clint Eastwood, like, I think that's, like, for me, it's important that I maintain not doing that. Yeah. You know, because when I was coming up, my dad did that. Well, they just don't make rock and roll like they used to. Well, no, because then it would just be boring. Have you listened to the radio station? Like, it's the same four fucking songs. Like, what are you talking about? Of course not. Like, nobody bought AC/DC albums after the second one with Brian Johnson, because it's like, oh, here we go with this again. That's not true. I'd say probably somewhere after Ball Breaker is where people started dropping off, but it's like, yeah, it's another AC/DC album. So I have to keep telling myself, like, you may not understand it, but that just means you're old. And if you don't want to get left behind and being the next iteration of boomers later down the road, when you're going, it's not like it used to be and all that, then you got to figure it out and like embrace it and roll with it and try to find the best in it, you know? And honestly, like, I watch TikTok and there's some really fucking funny people out there. Like, there is some really clever and smart people that make really good content, and there's some trash.
You're absolutely trash. You're so right. Okay. First of all, there is some very talented people on TikTok, and there's people who make me laugh. I watch it and I'm like, that's funny. There's a lot of trash. Most of it is garbage and people ripping people off or stealing jokes and bits and stuff like that, ideas. But there are some very funny people. Now, back to, I want to talk about music because you brought that up. Okay, first of all, I believe, now, naturally, yes, I gravitate to the 1990s, you know, era of music, because that was my time, you know, in high school, coming out of, you know, my young days. That was the, you know, big Beastie Boys fan, you know, stuff like that, grunge rock, stuff like that. But I did go out of my way because I was starting to become that person, like, that's all I listen to. And I was like, you know, I want to venture out and find some new music. There has to be something. And I've picked up on, you know, I've discovered some other stuff and I'm like, well, this isn't bad. You know, I can get down with this. I can dig that. So, but I'm with you. I'm definitely trying not to become that old man, get off my lawn. And you, anybody listening, this, you should definitely evolve, because if you're not growing, you're dying. So
that's a valid point. But it's a thing. And speaking of music, if you want to, like, I'll tell you how I do it, Danny. And I think if you remember my house, you remember my record collection.
Absolutely. A lot of cool stuff in this house, y'all.
By the way, I don't know if you noticed that sign up there. I did not steal that.
Wheeler Road on the back there. We have no clue where it came from, though, folks.
Nope, it does not. It does not clarify that it says City of Alcoa on it. It does not say that on it. But I get on Spotify, I put my headphones in, you know, have a couple drinks while I'm doing it. And I'll just go to the Discovery playlist, or just hit a, find a playlist that they've got on there and just hit a song. And I'll determine, like, do I like this song? No. Okay, well, let's go to the next one. Oh, I like this song. Let's go look at the artist. Let's add two songs from this artist to this playlist over here. We'll listen to them later. But let's go down to related artists. And now let's find somebody with a cool sounding name that looks cool, and let's go to their page. All right, let's pick a couple songs from them and go down to related artists. And you can do that all night long, bro.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
It's fun.
I could go down the rabbit hole. And I listen to different types of music as well, you know. I'm a big fan of, I call it newgrass, and I'm sure that's the term for it anyways, is, you know, the modernized bluegrass type music. I became a big fan of that. And I don't know what kind of rock music it is, but I mean, there's a lot of cool kind of bands out there, you know. Cold War Kids.
War Kids are really good.
Got some good stuff out there. I mean, you know, just some good chill music. Is it
Spook? I've recently gotten into jazz.
Nice. Like
I'm dipping my toe into the jazz pool. I've waited so long, and now I'm working into jazz and more instrumental stuff. Like, I've got Thundercat down here and Miles Davis. Yeah. I've got, like, in this box, I've got Lupe Fiasco, Thundercat, Miles Davis, Stevie Wonder, Alice Cooper, The Beatles. Like, it's just all over the place.
That's awesome, dude. That is awesome.
You just got to keep it 100, as the kids say. That was for you, fellow youngsters.
Yes, any youngsters listening to this podcast, by the way. I haven't done my homework on my age demo. So But well, let me ask you this. Have you always been like this? Have you always kind of been like a cultured kind of dude with into so many things? Or, I mean, what was it your raising? I mean, you said your dad was kind of, you know, get off my lawn. My music was the best, but any influence, anything like
well,
that?
Well, yeah, I mean, mom listened to country, dad listened to rock and roll and blues and James Taylor type stuff, like folk. So I got a really, and then like when they were together, it was oldies. Like that's what they combined on. So I got like all of this music, and I have two younger sisters. So I was often just like, I just want my headphones on so that I don't have to hear anybody talk to me, because I don't want to play Pretty Britney Princess and I don't want to watch this stupid musical for the 15th time in a row. I'm just going to go listen to my headphones for hours. So it was just me sitting in my room a lot with my headphones on, listening to everything I could get my hands on, my dad, mom's old records, 45s. I would just sit there and just play anything and everything, read the liner notes, all that stuff, just absorbing it.
That's super cool, man. You know what? You talk about musicals. You know, I actually have a bit, you know, like I was making my son, Brennan, you know, he's gay. And growing up, I used to make him watch the Super Bowl. Not that it would make him straight, but it was to get revenge for all those stupid musicals he made me watch.
Yeah. No, there's a running joke in our family, like, about me knowing more about musicals and antiques than any male alive.
God, dude, those music, some of them could be rough.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The shit. Well, hey, man, you know, I wanted to bring this topic up real quick, bring it back, because we were talking about the pressure of performing entertainment. Did you see just recently the Lisa Lampanelli clip of her losing her shit on stage?
No, and until you just said that, I forgot Lisa Lampanelli existed.
Very good point. Okay, first of all, great point. When you watch the video, all right, now, granted, it's videoed in the way things are videoed these days, which means you do not see the first part of anything prior before what is happening. Right. Lisa is on stage and she's literally lost her shit, cussing at the audience, you know, just going off on the audience, yada, yada, yada. I've been doing this for 30 years, blah, 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 you know, and then she walks off stage. When I was watching, and also it was an auditorium which wasn't sold out. The top row, there was a lot of empty seats, which goes back to you haven't heard of Lisa Lampanelli in a long time. So when I looked at that, first of all, whenever she's been doing comedy as long as she has, and even with me to this day, 90% of the time when you've been doing it as long, especially as her, it is the audience's fault if it's a shit show, if it's a tough crowd, okay? Most of the time at that point it is. But you still have a job to do. You still have to figure out a way to work that tough room, that tough audience. And, yes. And Lisa clearly did not do that. She literally basically just walked out and quit. But looking at that, you know, at first, a lot of people were watching the video. And when you get a chance, watch it. A lot of people were watching the video, like, who doesn't love to see, you know, someone melt down on stage? Oh, my God. And we go back to our gross thing that's in our DNA, where we would gather around town to watch a beheading. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's the same spectacle, you know.
The internet brings out the viciousness in people, and it's really disheartening. And I like, it's been a growing concern of mine recently. And to your point, it is a job, and it sounds very similar to the Michael Richards incident. And it's like, listen, it's tough. There's a lot of pressure, but you got to do your job. You don't have to clap back. Like if she had just gone, all right, fuck it, and walked off, this isn't a story. No, like, this is it.
Yeah.
But instead, she let herself lose control and just.
Well, what I saw, first, when I first watched the video, I'm like, okay, I know why she's frustrated, because she was known in the 90s and the early 2000s, and now no one really knows who Lisa Lampanelli is. So she's probably a little frustrated because this venue's not sold out. And you know, it is what it is. And so she's got this chip on her shoulder when she's walking out there, and probably doing the show, which didn't help with any heckling, which she's also she does controversial material. So
yes, that's what she was known for.
Yeah. You should be ready and prepared. And the audience should be too. Don't go to a Lisa Lampanelli show if you're going to be offended. Then, I mean, that's ridiculous. That's like going to watch a horror movie and you hate blood and guts, you know? I mean, what? But at the same time, she didn't do her job. I mean, and if you get hecklers, man, and we all get tough rooms, we get tough crowds, it's part of the job. And Michael Richards, God, he's another one. That's total
very, very bad for total. Bad.
And I mean,
the second point there is that, you know, recently it's just people have opinions on everything, and it seems like the only opinions that they're willing to offer are the bad ones, specifically on the internet. Like, you never, it's like reviews. Most of the time, the only time somebody wants to leave a review for anything is when they've had a bad experience and they want to rant about it. And, you know, like I have a group of friends and we talk about heavy metal and stuff. And the other day I sent a message, was like, hey, I just grabbed this record, just got back from this brewery from down the road. Can't wait to put this record on. And somebody chimed in and goes, oh man, that record's so good. That bar is shit though. And I was like, okay, well, I just said I had a good time there and that I enjoyed the beer. So what's your problem? Oh, the beer is just mediocre. And I'm like, I literally just said for the second time that I enjoyed the beer. Why? Like, well, it's bad and you just have bad taste. Well, how do I have bad taste? It's literally taste. It's subjective. You having a PhD in beer isn't going to make me like an IPA more than a Bud Light ever. So why is it imperative for you to express your opinion? When Meatloaf passed away, you know, I'm a huge Meatloaf fan, love Meatloaf and the musician. And
hey, I like both, to be honest, but go ahead.
Yeah. So in this chat, somebody was like, yeah, I was never really sucks he died, but I was never really a fan. And I said, I think on the day of his death, it's more than appropriate to establish that you are not a fan of anything he's done before mourning his death. Definitely, let's do that today, right now. Like that. Why is that even a thing? Why is that important? Why do you have to quantify or qualify that? Just say, sucks, or just shut the fuck up.
That is the most important thing. People don't know how to shut the fuck up. Just because you can comment doesn't mean you have to comment. Go on with your business, you know?
Right. If somebody comes up and starts talking about Florida Georgia Line to me, I'm gonna go, okay, I don't know, I'm gonna walk away. I don't like it. I've listened to it, I've tried to like it, and I don't.
Yeah. And I mean,
but I'm not just going to be like, you listen to Florida Georgia Line, about you wear jorts and drink Milwaukee's best too.
I always mean, there's nothing
wrong with Milwaukee's best either.
I get annoyed on Facebook because people, when they, I mean, of course they plaster their opinions, this, and it, that sucks, or this.
Yeah.
Oh, God, shut the fuck up, dude.
Does it?
God. Yeah. Does it really? I mean, so much is subjective, and I don't like people who can't, I have a hard time, you know, relating with people who, you know, who have that one wall, that barrier, and it's either this or it's nothing, or this sucks and that's garbage and that's how it is. I mean, I don't click with those kind of people. Not at all.
No, I don't either. It my skin really quick, you know, and similarly, the people that are like, so have you heard this band? I'm not familiar with them. What? You don't know? I'm a god, dude. If you've been living under a fucking rock, how do you not know this band? It's like, I don't know why you're shouting at me, sir. The correct thing would be to rectify this situation by offering me knowledge instead of demeaning me and telling me I'm dumb.
You know, and I love to talk about, like, you know, comedies or shows. I think a lot of television shows right now are killing it, you know, like on the networks like HBO Max and Netflix and stuff like that. We've got some great series. Big fan of the latest comedy series, The Righteous Gemstones. Big fan of that. If you haven't seen that, I highly recommend it. It's really good. Edie Patterson is the funniest person in the entire series, in my opinion. She is fantastic.
I agree.
But when I tell people about that, you know, I don't go, but I'm like, I'm telling you, this is fantastic. If you get a chance, watch it. So I try to share that, but if people are, if automatically they're like, yeah, that's not kind of my thing. I'm like, okay, you know, we'll move on. I'm not going to sit there and you're an idiot, you know. Let me ask you this though, Mitch, because this is something, and this is, you know, something that's I'm dealing with right now, interviewing people. And I know you've interviewed a lot of people. What do you do when you run into a dud ass interview? Somebody who is just, you can tell this isn't somebody that you would ever share a beer with. Somebody who's just kind of a, you know, it's just not happening. It's just not clinking. I mean, any incidences, you don't have to name names, but any ways that you've handled it or anything.
You just cut the line. you patronize them as long as you can to make the, like, you don't want to make them realize that you are hating every moment of being in their presence and hearing them talk. You don't want them to realize that you have not heard a word they've said for the past 15 minutes because they're just droning on and it's nonsense. You don't want them to know that you're screaming it inside because every single question is just a, God damn it, give me something to work with.
Yeah.
So you just...
God, dude, I've
put on your happy face and you take another sip of whiskey and you just truck through it. And then when you feel like you've spent enough time on it, you just, hey, thanks. This is a great time. Appreciate you doing that. I'll let you know when it goes up. And then you cancel your podcast.
You know, man, okay.
And then you delete it from the internet.
I literally wanted to do that, by the way. I've been
looking. Do you want to know the worst? Do you want to know the worst?
Let's hear it.
I'll tell you, and I'll name him.
Go for it.
Glenn Jacobs.
Wow. Wow.
It was brutally uninteresting. And I'm trying everything I can to make him seem interesting outside of the wrestler. Like, again, everybody's interviewed him about wrestling.
Yes.
So I want to know about Glenn Jacobs, the guy that's running for mayor. And it was just like, oh my God, your people didn't do any research. You just walked into this blindly. You obviously don't want to do that. I can tell by the tone in your voice that you hate me and you've never met me. Like, I can tell how resentful you are that you are doing this the whole fucking time. And I was like, I'm going to get through it and I'm going to put this shit up just because I think it might get some push and get a bump because of hashtags and maybe people pay attention. People didn't even give a shit. Like, it performed less than most of my other podcasts. And it was horrible, man. It's so frustrating when that happens. But to our previous point, it's your job. So you suck it up and you do it. And you make the best of it. And if you have to edit it and make it seem interesting, that's fine. But you can also just throw it in the trash. Nobody says you have to use it. Nobody says you have to drop an episode. It's the wild goddamn West out there. You can do whatever you want. I'm only going to post one episode every 3 months.
You know what? Yeah,
fine. Fuck it. That's what you get to do.
So, you are so right, dude. You are 100. You totally. I mean, I had an incident and it was, you know, I think the person told more about themselves than what they think they actually did just by being the way they were. And it was a very awkward interview. It was a lot of work on my part. And but no, I have been lucky, though. The 99% of my guests have been fantastic. Have been great guests. Like I said, there is that one, and it was really a lot of work. But yeah, you're right, man. I guess you gear through it. And who would have thought Glenn Jacobs, man? That was somebody who was actually on the list to reach out to, but you know, maybe, who knows?
Maybe you'll have better luck. But he was not into talking to me.
Why would you even come on a podcast? I guess maybe he was doing it to maybe promote his political campaign. Was this before, or was this?
Yeah, it was during the campaign.
Gotcha.
It was while he was running.
That's weird, because you're such a good interviewer and you make people feel comfortable on the other end. So I mean,
it was the same podcast you were on.
Oh, see?
It was the same line of questioning. Like, what do you do outside of your job? Like, what makes you interesting? I read books. What kind of books? Mostly autobiographies. Did you want to give me some examples, or do you just want me to shut the fuck up? Like, I don't understand. Like, bro.
Let me ask you this, Mitch, because I know you've met some people. Have you met any former professional wrestlers, or, you know?
Yeah, lots of them. I used to wrestle.
Oh, shit. I didn't know that.
Most people don't. Dude, listen, here's the thing. When it comes to life, like, it's short. And I want to do all of the things, especially if it's like, if somebody's like, hey, do you want to do this random thing that you never thought you would do, but it would be mildly entertaining? Yep. Sure do. You want to jump in a river in February dressed as Waldo to raise money for adoption? Yep. I do. Somebody's going to have a camera, right? Yeah. Okay. I'll do it.
That sounds interesting. Absolutely.
So I was hanging out with a bunch of professional wrestlers back in the day. And by professional, I mean, like, we hung out at the flea market wrestling shit. You know what I mean? Like, I would ride Maynardville or whatever. And it was fun. And then we would just get stoned and start talking about, like, funny gimmicks we could pull off. And then we would be like, that's actually really good. And the next thing you know, I'm dressed in some dumb shit in a flea market screaming about crazy cooter. I was in the locker room a lot with people. Like, I've been in the locker room with Scott Steiner, Coco Beware, Buff Bagwell, Lex Luthor, Luger, not Luthor. He's not real.
Lex Luthor, you mean Jeff Bezos?
Yes. No, I'm staying far away from that motherfucker. Yeah. So
I haven't met a lot. I did a card trick for Rick Steiner.
Nice. I met Rick.
Rick was cool. And, you know, he was a cool dude. And then I haven't met, though, a whole lot of other and I'm a wrestling fan. I love wrestling, mm-hmm. You know, but I have not met that many of them. So but I do. The thing that now, like, I did have a female wrestler on the podcast, Roxanne Lane. She's, you know, a hell of a wrestler and a hell of an entertainer. And she, you know, fantastic guest to talk to. I need to get more wrestlers on here because, yeah, I love wrestling. I absolutely love it. But let's move on to this. I want to move on to this. I could talk to you forever, Mitch, about some cool things. But every guest on the Abracadam podcast gets asked this question. Now, we know you were a comic and you even wrestled. You've done a lot of stuff, but we like to hear a good hell gig story. Let's hear a hell gig story where something crazy happened, even at a comedy show radio show, whatever you was doing, anything you want to share with the listeners, let's hear it.
Man, I'll be honest with you, Danny. I try to block that shit out as quickly as possible. Even when things go bad, man, I try to embrace it and roll with it and make the best of it. I tell you this, like, this was, after I won the first time I ever did stand-up comedy was Host with the Most. It was a competition between competing media personalities, and it was the first one that they'd ever done. I'd never done comedy before, and I was like, very similar to what I just said, shit, I'll give it a shot. Why not? You know, like, it could be awesome. So write my set, write my jokes, and I won. I hadn't done any open mics to practice or anything. It was just straight up, first time on the stage, I'm getting a trophy. And I was like, man, you know, that hubris, that ego fills in, and you're like, I'm fucking awesome. And the club, manager of the club's like, hey, calls me a couple weeks later. He's like, hey, man, just going to see if you wanted to do some opening gigs for some national acts. Like, absolutely. Hell yes, I do. All right, cool. We got like Pat Godwin coming up, and we've got Spanky Brown. Spanky was so cool, man. So I go up there and they're like, hey, listen, the opener, you got to keep it real clean. And I'm like, okay, I'm just going to use the same set I did for Host with the Most. And I mean, it was a great set. I thought, man, I bombed so hard twice in the same night, because on those shows, there's an early show and a late show. I'm opening both of them, and I'm walking off the stage to silence both times. And it was like, I was like, this sucks. And that's not when I stopped, but that was like my first, like, holy shit, this is awful. And I walk out and Spanky's sitting there, he's like, sorry, man, my crowd is tough, bro. And he's like, it's not you, you were funny. My crowd, that's just how they are, man. But he was so cool, like, and he's been cool ever since. Like, I really appreciated him being like, it wasn't you. You nailed it.
You know,
that comes with opening for me. I'm sorry, man.
I love, you know, he was so good to me back in the day starting out. And, you know, I miss him. I miss talking to him in conversations that we used to have. But, you know, he gave me so much great advice. But one of the things that I remember him telling me, Spanky telling me, is when I was first starting out, he said, look, most comics when they first start out don't know how to cuss. And that didn't make sense to me, you know, because, I mean, Spanky was a clean act anyways, you know, Spanky, you know, didn't really cuss a lot in his,
right,
in his sets and stuff. But then went until later on that I realized I get it now. You know, there's some bits that actually cussing does enhance sometimes, but a lot of times but a lot of comics when they start out, they will use curse words and stuff like that as a crutch and you know, do those things.
No, that's decoration.
Exactly. And, but Spanky was, he was so good. He was good to a lot of us, man. And the thing I love about that story right there, Mitch, is, I mean, of course, bombing, especially starting out, everybody bombs, but it was a Spanky Brown story, brother. So that is freaking awesome.
Yeah.
Let's do this.
Cheers to Spanky.
What's that? Oh, there, to Spanky.
Cheers to Spanky.
Yeah, cheers to Spanky. I'm actually going to do an episode dedicated to Spanky Brown. I'm definitely looking into doing that. I'm going to have Greg Henderson on, who was really close to Spanky. He did his Spanky Browns and Friends radio show together. And I'm going to have Greg tell some Spanky Brown greatest hit stories. So, looking forward to that. So if you guys listen, if you would like to hear a fantastic comic, Spanky Brown, you can go catch some stuff right now on YouTube. Spanky did pass away just a few years back. And but he was really special to a lot of people here, and especially, you know, all over, but here in the East Tennessee area, a lot of comics here. Mitch, let's do this, brother. First of all, man, do you believe in time travel, or do you think it's possible?
No.
You don't think it's possible?
No. Here's the thing. And if it was possible, we would never know.
Okay. That's a valid point. That is a valid point. That is true.
I've actually thought about this quite a bit. And just somebody being, say I travel back in time, just my sheer existence would fuck everything up.
True.
For the future, because there's that moment, like everything. I mean, some people don't believe in this thing, but like everything, every decision, every choice, me moving my finger like this on a podcast and talking about movement and a visual image on a podcast is affecting something in the future. Like me sitting in this chair is causing deterioration in this chair. If I wasn't sitting in this chair, then it's going to last a day longer. And so on and so forth. So if I just show up somewhere in time, then somebody's going to see me that didn't actually see me before. And so that they had this other image. And you know what I'm saying? Like, it could be just the smallest thing, a butterfly effect or whatever it is, the Ashton Kutcher shit.
To the smallest level that you can imagine. Now, here's something to think about if you want to know a really good thinker, okay? Would time exist at all if memory did not exist?
What is time? Let's just go there.
I mean,
the sober stoner hour.
Yes, it is. And I think about this stuff a whole lot. And I mean, you know, Einstein always talked about space time, you know, kind of intertwining, you know, the same thing. Mm-hmm. But I mean, this came up and, you know, I was thinking, you know, well, that's weird because, yeah, if our minds did not have memory, if we had no memory at all of the past, would time even exist at all? And you're probably saying, of course it would, just because you can't remember. What, you don't know that, because your brain is the measuring tool of all existence. So if you don't have something to measure, the tool to measure it, you don't know. So it's a weird one.
Well, yeah.
It's a tough one.
Okay.
Well,
that
let's
fuck me up.
Let's do this. Let's just pretend like time travel is real for a moment. And Mitch Wheeler, okay, you have the choice. You can either travel 5 years into the future or you can travel 5 years into the past. Which one do you do?
Both sound dangerous. I don't know, man. Like, that's a tough question. And I might have to just give my ticket to you. I don't know. I try not to live in the past, try not to dwell on it. You know, that's easier said than done for an entertainer and somebody with ADD. Where it's just like, oh, yeah, no, there's that one time in school I farted and the teacher laughed at me. That just keeps coming back. Now I'll never get rid of that one. But at the same time, it's made me who I am. It's taught me these lessons. It's given me the knowledge that I have. So I wouldn't really fuck with it. And the future, I just kind of like the idea of it being a surprise.
There we go, man. I can get down with that. So you gave me your ticket. So now I'm Eddie Money. I've got two tickets to paradise. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe. Well, okay. We're going to move right on to this. Okay. Now, because this is the Abracadam podcast, ladies and gentlemen, and I am a musician, a very good musician. And we're going to do a card trick. Okay. A musician who does a card trick here.
I love it.
We're going to do some mind reading through Zoom. Okay. Now here's the thing. They can't see this. They can only hear this. So, you know, help me out here. I'm going to show you some cards. All right. And I want you to think of one of these cards, Mitch. I want you just to think
of it. Do you want me to tell the listeners what a card I'm thinking of?
I'm going to ask you. this is the thing. You think of the card. Think of one of these cards. And I'm going to ask you the card that you're thinking of. And then you're going to announce it. Okay. But not until I ask. Okay. So here.
Okay.
Think of one of these cards. You got it?
Yes. For the listeners, Danny is holding up a about 7 or 8 cards, and I am concentrating very hard and making a face to indicate that.
Absolutely. All right, here we go. You're such a great narrator. All right, this one I'm going to I'm going to lose the cards in the deck here. I'm going to try to cut the deck. Here, hold on.
Danny, I feel like you shouldn't have to try to cut the deck at this point in your career.
That's very true. I should be better at this. Well, here we go. Here we go. I have accomplished a major feat in Magic, folks.
Bro, you're on your way.
Now, for the first time, now I'm obligated to, by the way. I can't get out of this. I have cut the deck. Right here, Mitch is staring at me. Here we go.
It's true.
Eyes on me. Mitch Wheeler, for the first time, what was the card that you were only thinking of?
It was the Two of Spades.
The Two of Spades. Check it out. I cut to one card, okay? One card only.
Boom, Two of Spades.
The Two of Spades.
Danny just turned around the Two of Spades.
Yes. You've been abracadabbed, my man.
Hell yeah. I feel good. It kind of tingled my penis a little bit.
Tingled the penis. Well, that's the goal, okay?
Yeah.
Every good magic trick tingles the penis. Mitch.
That's how you know it's a good one.
I tell you what, brother, is there, because, I mean, like I said, I know you're just kind of in chill mode these days doing your thing, but if anybody did want to know more about Mitch Wheeler, where could they contact you or not contact you or anything like that?
You can find my Hinge profile and my Tinder profile on the dating apps, respectively. And you could follow me at the Mitch Wheeler on Instagram. I'm on Twitter. I don't use it a lot. And I think my TikTok channel is probably at the Mitch Wheeler too, or at Mitch Forked. I'm not really sure.
As long as it's not.
Oh my God, I hate this app. It's at the Mitch Wheeler.
At the.
No, so it, really quick. At the Mitch Wheeler. When I say I hate TikTok, like it took me forever to actually embrace it because of this thing. This one thing that happens is when you open, like you're familiar, right? You open the app and it's just like content right there in your face. Like immediately, if you're sitting on the toilet at work in the stall, like everybody's gonna know you just opened TikTok. It to like that, I hated that. Like, and it took me forever to get used to it because I would forget about it. And it was like showing up to the party at midnight when everybody else is already drunk and you just walk in and like, hey, we're gonna play a game. And you're like, bro, I just got here. Give me 3 beers in 15 minutes and then show me your funny trick.
That is so true though. TikTok is like in your face.
It really is.
Well, I tell you what, guys, you can follow Mitch Wheeler on TikTok and you can see his funny dog video with the dog jumping up and down. And
the one that got me on America's Funniest Home Videos.
There we go. And the one that got him on, and we didn't know about that, by the way.
Did you read the one of me falling over a dog crate?
I didn't know that was on America's Most Funniest Home Videos.
It was. I got a t-shirt and $100 to prove it.
Okay, well, you guys have to go watch that video, America's Funniest Home Videos, and, you know, the t-shirt in the crate, that's pretty badass. Well, t-shirt and $100. Oh, but do you still got the crate?
Yeah. I had to bend it back into shape, but it still works. Still holds a dog.
Awesome. Well, I tell you what, Mitch, dude, this has been a blast, man. Thank you so much. It's always fun to talk to you. Thank you for coming on.
Yeah, dude. Hey, thanks for thinking of me and having me on. You know, I always love talking into microphones with other people. It's my favorite thing. It's my happy place.
All right, Abracadamans, hope you enjoyed that episode with Mitch Wheeler. He's always such a fun guy to talk to. Great conversations, man. Just great conversations with that guy. If you be sure to check out his TikTok channel, The Mitch Wheeler. Find him on Instagram. Mitch, you know, he's always doing some cool stuff. He's just being Mitch, which is cool. If you guys have not done so yet, be sure to like, subscribe, and follow the Abracadam podcast wherever it is you listen to podcasts. We are literally everywhere. And, well, like always, Abracadamans.